Welcome, everybody, to the Level Up Life. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we have Peter Abernathy, attorney, super smart guy. He is an attorney with the Tennessee Higher Education Commission and the Tennessee Student Assistant Corporation. His official title is the Bureau Chief Student Aid and Compliance Officer, right?
Wow.
No, officer. He oversees the bureau responsible for about $500 million, billion with a B, of student aid in the state of Tennessee. So a lot going on there, a lot of responsibility. We're excited to dive into it and kind of see how you got here.
Yeah, my goodness, you're like an important person. Like you make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah. Well, the title sounds real important. I don't know about me. Fortunately, one of the things that I've been fortunate over the years to have in my career path has been the opportunity to work with a lot of people who are smarter than me and really do a super job in making all the pieces fit together. So I get to be part of that, which is fun. So.
That's, you know, cool. Speaking of that, I mean, like, speaking of the fun, because sometimes when people think work, they don't think fun, they think work. What is something that you're working on right now that you're pretty excited about, or something that's, you know, really caught your interest that you'd like to share?
Well, generally, and we are doing a little bit of this right now, it's somewhat seasonal. But one of the things that we do is we draft legislation primarily for the financial aid scholarships, grants and scholarships that we administer. And so being able to be a part of a team that not only considers the legality of what we want to do and to make sure that language is precise and operates in such a way that the program can function the way that it should, and provide the benefits that it should. There's also kind of a creative side to it as well, to be able to use the resources we have to create or modify programs that adapt to the needs of the students and the schools. And so having a chance to kind of put all that together and be a part of a team that works with that is one of the more enjoyable things that we do.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I have to imagine that's pretty fulfilling as well. Yeah. Like just the work that you do, you can go home, say like, I made a difference today. I made something happen.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about you've mentioned the program. I know Tennessee has a really unique education program for higher education. Can you just tell us briefly about kind of what that is, just for a little context?
A program called the Tennessee Promise Scholarship. And it was one of the first of its kind in the country, really the only one, though, that operated statewide. And so this program is what's called, or what's referred to as a last dollar scholarship. And what that means is students apply for federal financial aid and state financial aid, and what those do not cover of the cost of tuition and fees. This Promise Scholarship covers the remainder of that. So there are, of course, other expenses in going to college, but the vast majority of those are covered by this program. So it has helped a good number of students be able to go to school who might otherwise not have a chance to go.
Oh, that is awesome. You know, Peter, it's actually funny you say that, because one of our previous interviewees that we had met with, I didn't participate in that particular scholarship program, but basically, for him, it was, you know, underserved area of California, was able to go through that this type of national scholarship program for themselves, and it really made a huge difference in their lives and being able to get the education that they wanted, and mm-hmm. then was then able to find a very comfortable, you know, like I'd say it's fast paced, there's a lot of work going on, but like a good, comfortable position that he's now taking care of like three foster children with that new career. So mm-hmm. it's That's really great. I mean, that it shows that these programs have a significant effect on people. And while people might sometimes look at the high level, it's easy to forget the individual stories that come out of it.
Yeah. No, that's very true. There are a lot of those kinds of stories that that we see all the time of students who were able to participate in this, and it is what made all the difference for them being able to go to school and get a degree and go to work in a field they enjoy and makes life better.
Yeah. And you know, and speaking of going to school and getting a degree, you were not an attorney, future attorney passing the bar at 24 years old. This is something and a path that you took much later. We'd love to dive into kind of how you got here.
Yeah, I mean, basically, think if you ever seen the movie Wayne's World, where they do the boo-doo-doo, let's just take us back in time to that young Peter and what's going on in his mind, what's his situation, what's happening.
Yeah, good question. You know, quite honestly, the answer is years and years in the making. I had always assumed I'd go to college and did, not really knowing a whole lot about what I wanted to do. I was not in a position, fortunately at the time, to really have to rely on financial aid. I was able to work during the summers and paid for school, and my parents helped as well, but didn't have to take out loans. So financial aid wasn't really even part of my world. I didn't really know a whole lot about it. But finished my degree, and about a year or so later, married, and we moved to New York City. We assumed we'd be there for a couple of years, so I took a job with an adoption agency that worked for New York City. Really enjoyed it. Didn't have anything to do with my degree, which was in English.
it's common. It seems to be very common for that to happen. Yeah.
although English really did provide a good background for being able to write and to communicate and to understand and put concepts together. So I did that for a couple of years, and then we moved to North Carolina. But before we moved, the director of this agency I worked for in New York encouraged me to consider going back to school and getting a master's in public administration. He felt that based on kind of my interest, that would be a good degree to open up opportunities to work for, private nonprofit agencies, governments, local and state, federal. So just a broad array of different employment types, variety of employment. And so I did. We moved to North Carolina. I went back to school. And
you're how old there at that point? Sorry.
29 when I finished. So we stayed there for just a short while longer, and then moved back to Tennessee. And just a door opened up in state government with the Department of Finance in their budget office, which administers all the budgets for the state of Tennessee, the various department budgets. And so I did that. And part of the reason that I was able to get that job was because of the work that I'd done in New York. And they saw the connection of being able to identify and work with human resource type agencies. So that was my first assignment with the state of Tennessee. That lasted for about a year. And then I was reassigned to the budgets for higher ed and K-12 in the state. So all of the state public institutions of higher education and then the K-12 system. So I was given responsibility to work with those budgets. I did that for about, 6 or 7 years, maybe 7 years. And the further in that time period I went, the more I was really starting to think, you know, this is good work. I enjoy it. I enjoy what I do. It's good. It's important work, good work, but didn't feel like that was the end. I felt like I needed to do something else. There were a variety of things I was thinking about, maybe an MBA or a doctorate in public administration or accounting, law, just a handful of things that I was considering, and decided eventually on going to law school. And
wait a minute. Hold up there, Peter. You're telling me. So how old are you at this point?
35.
You said 6-7 years. That make you about like 34?
I was in my mid-30s. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I'll tell you what. To all the people out there who think they've hit their 30s and they're like, oh, I'm behind. There's too much. Like, there's just, I can't, get anywhere. There's age is just a number. Peter's proven that big time. Well, like, because that's a big undertaking, right? Like, going to law schools, I mean, that's like young people have difficulty with that, with their young energy. And they're like, I can stay up all night and never worry about energy. Yeah. You know, like, that's a lot to undertake. And especially, being married, and I'm not sure you had kids at this point, but that's a lot of responsibility. How did you manage?
Well, we did. We had three kids at the time. Oh. And and we see this. We work somewhat indirectly, but have experience in working with adult students where I work, and hear their stories and kind of see their progress and their successes. And I think there is something to age that helps settle a person in their ability to be disciplined and to have some success in school, maybe where they didn't have years before. I work with a woman who just about a year ago graduated with her bachelor's degree, and she's in her mid-40s, but did very, very well. And so that's the kind of thing that we see often with adult students. So there, maybe some of that was helpful for me, just kind of being a little bit more determined in what I wanted to do. And of course, having a supportive wife helped, but helped a great deal. And a supportive boss at the time, because the school that I went to was a night school. And so I continued to work during the day and went to school at night. And one unique thing though about this school is that the average age was right where I was. So there were people in their 40s, there were a few in their 50s that were there going to school, and people with just all kinds of employment backgrounds. We had a couple of doctors, we had a handful of nurses, we had school teachers, business owners, small business owners. We had realtors, we had stay-at-home moms, we had paralegals, dental hygienists, policemen, you name it. We had just a lot of people that were at that point in their lives, kind of like me, where they wanted to do something different, or maybe add to what they were already doing. And so it was a class made up of people that were very much in a similar situation as me. And so went through the program, got out, took and passed the bar, and still was not really sure what I wanted to do with it, although I was kind of hoping to find my way into higher education. Didn't really have any open doors at that point, any strong leads. Probably 7-8 months later, the attorney position in the agency where I work now opened up, and the director of the agency called me and asked if I'd be interested in coming and working there with them. And so I jumped at the chance, and had a lot of interaction with them, of course, over the prior years, because they were one of the agencies whose budgets I oversaw. And so I knew a fair amount about the agency and its people and what
there's people there that you already knew, had a relationship with.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, that was very helpful, you know, but for me, it really wasn't, you know, just the timing of going back to school and having a family. It didn't make sense for me to kind of go out on my own and practice law, you know, and start all over in a career. I was already halfway through my career, I felt like at the time, but so being able to kind of fit into that stream of work that I was already involved in made a lot of sense. And yeah,
an incredible journey. It really is, because it's interesting. Like as myself, as a 32-year-old, I tend to hit that point where I feel like, man, my career has been about, you know, 10 years long now. And that feels long. Like it feels like, man, I've invested a lot of time. And then the idea that like I could pivot or change or do something, you know, almost entirely different than what I'm doing right now is a scary prospect, because it's like, well, did those 10 years mean, would it that meaningless, or did it not mean anything, or did it not, I don't want to waste that time. But what we found consistently, and Peter, you highlighted this at the beginning, is that a lot of the times, the stuff that you're doing now, although it might not be relevant to what you do later, there are a lot of transferable skills, and there are a lot of transferable items that, like, people you meet, there's just different things that you pick up that time is, it's important, but you have to also realize you have a lot more time. So you don't need to be afraid of investing in new things.
So
for you personally, like, is this something you agree with? Like, is that how you felt?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, looking back, it's much easier to look back over, you know, 27, 28 years, than it is, looking forward anytime you're about to make a change. Because there's always kind of at least for me, fear of the unknown. But as I look back over my time from really even in school, in college through, and then throughout my career, every change that I made was preceded by a connection that I'd made in a previous job. So someone that kind of helped guide and inform me on some things that I could do or ways to improve. And certainly some connections that were valuable resources and references for me, for my next endeavor, and experience in school or with a job, that also helped open up doors. So the combination of those people and responsibilities, were really, just front and center in being able to go from one position or area of work to another one.
One thing that stood out to me was when we just talked about the law school, three kids, working full time. I'm curious to know, like, what would your calendar look like that? Like, can you recall like an example of like, when did you wake up? Like, what was your day, a typical day like in that period of your life?
You had the choice, at least for the first 2 years, to attend class Monday and Thursday nights or Tuesday, Wednesday nights. And so I chose the Monday, Thursday night schedule. And those first 2 years, your courses were set for you. They kind of told you what to take. And so Mondays and Thursdays, I was in class from 6 to 10 p.m. So I'd get up in the morning, go to work, and then would stay at the office until it was time to head over to school, which was only about 15, 20 minutes away. and then get home about 10:30, 10:40 in the evening, get up and do it again the next day. The evenings I wasn't in school, I would usually stay at my office then and study there at least until 9 or 10 at night.
Peter, did you have like a weekly budget for flowers for your wife, or was it like a daily budget? Because that takes some good support too. Like, the dedication you have is incredible, but I have to also imagine from your partner's perspective, like, there's got to be a strong relationship there too.
Yeah, there was, and I think in many ways it got stronger because of it. But no doubt she was really the primary reason I was able to go and make it through, because it just was, it was very difficult, the time involved in studying and working on that. But again, my weeknights were full Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays I spent most of the day studying. I'd take Sundays off just to spend time at church and with family, exclusively. And the last 2 years opened up a little bit. There was a little more flexibility in schedules, and you kind of learned how to be a student, how to think the way they wanted you to think. So it made some things a little bit easier. But just knowing that, as my wife would always tell me, you're going to go through these 4 years, whether you're in school or not. So you might as well just suck it up
I like that.
and
That's
go through it.
a good point.
Yeah. So
That's a good point.
I had to remind myself of that quite often.
I mean, you think about it, and one thing that I've learned over the course of my call it quote unquote fun employment right now, got laid off back in February, basically is that if you spend a like time's gonna go by no matter what. There's nothing you can do to slow the passage of time. And in all honesty, it can be difficult if you don't find your own purpose or your idea of what you want to do to understand, like, what am I being relevant with my time? Am I being respectful of my own time and my own life? And it really just takes like an investment per day, even if it's small, that will exponent like in some ways exponentially grow over time. Just because you made that small investment, like 1 hour a day of Spanish may not teach you Spanish in a month, but a year, 2 years, time's gonna go by anyway. Why not? By that time, you'll probably be really good. So I appreciate that because it's a really, really good mindset to have for I think anybody that time is gonna go by. So why not, do what it. Invest in yourself.
Did you ever face throughout this time like any doubts at any point where you were kind of doubting this decision somewhere along the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and how'd you deal with it?
Great question. I had doubts before I started, and had doubts almost every day for 4 years
Wow.
that I'd be able to get through it. The material itself is not, it's not rocket science. It's not a very difficult study or educational program. What made it hard for me was just the sheer volume of work. That you were faced with day in, day out. You'd finish a huge amount of work in one day and you'd turn around and have the same amount to do the next. And so doing that repeatedly was draining. And there were times when I felt very insecure about my abilities and talents. There was a lot of prayer, a lot of faith exercise during those years. And I had felt from the beginning that that was what the Lord wanted me to do and the path he wanted me to pursue. And so I relied on that and trusted that I'd find a way through, that he'd help me. And he did. Preparing for the bar and studying for that again while working was another mountain to climb, but you just have to kind of put your head down sometimes and march forward and don't look up, just keep walking. Just keep
Oh
it.
man.
Yeah.
Your advice in particular makes me think of how a lot of people will stop themselves from doing something because they might think it's too difficult or they might think it's too hard. But for a lot of things, like it's not difficult per se, it's just an investment. Like you need to move forward, you need to be disciplined, you need to continue with it. And I just find it fascinating that, with that mindset that there's so much that someone could accomplish. And although you have your doubts, like you're always going to have the doubts. Like I don't think there's anyone who's gone through a major career change or transition or anything of that means without having doubts. Like Buzz Aldrin, I'm sure that man was like, is this thing going to fly? Because are we sure?
Yeah.
So I just really like that takeaway.
I guess to wrap it up, we got to close the curtain here pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Reflect back to that time, think back to that person who you were, you know, that mid 30s. There's a lot of people today, even people like Gavin and I who are faced with these decisions of, man, I need to make a big shift. And I know we've gleaned a lot of different things from what you shared, but I wonder if you could just succinctly share any advice you would have to someone in those shoes contemplating a move like that.
I don't know. I think the idea that a career change can cause a bit of trepidation or concern, reservation with some people makes sense. Again, the idea of the unknown can do that to people. But it happens all the time. I've seen it, of course, with my own career, but a lot of people I work with have gone through similar transitions. Of all of the people that I work with, and I work relatively closely with a good 15, 20, 25 people that are very well educated, I don't know, but perhaps maybe one or two of those started with a degree in college that really aligns perfectly with what they're doing. Most people that I know have done something or studied something that is different from where they wind up in their careers later. I know so many people like that. And so you're not alone if you feel like you need to transition or want to transition and you've got questions or doubts. There's always somebody to talk to, people at schools, people at employment offices, people in your own work environment that have experience. And so ask questions, study it out, figure out the best way forward, and then just move forward with it. And things will work out. They always do.
Well, Peter, thank you. We've really enjoyed this conversation. We could just go on and on. But really, thank you for your wisdom and for joining us. And I will be sure to keep in touch.
Yeah.
Catch you later.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. What a wise man. I just felt like wisdom. Like coming as he was speaking, he was just so like, I don't know, I think I could tell he's somebody who's pretty humble too. Like he didn't seem to want to really go on and on about how difficult something was or how amazing some of the things he's doing are right now with the state of Tennessee. Just a really humble guy. I think a great example of just having faith and dedication, and having that long vision for your life. And it's like, yeah, okay, 4 years from now, those 4 years are going to go by no matter what. And I love that.
I mean, I tell you what, when you're in your teenage years or you're in your 20s, they tell you like, maybe think of a 5-year plan, think of a 10-year plan. But no one asks you to do a 30-year plan or a 40-year plan or a 60-year plan, right? Because you're going to live for a long time. Like this, people say life is short. It is the longest thing you're ever going to experience by far. And mm-hmm. It is no more apparent than that, than getting older and getting the wisdom that is the case. I just think it's so important for people. And I mean, the takeaways that we got from this one in particular, I mean, I even felt inspired from it, of like, you got to keep doing those small things that of like investing in yourself. You got to go out and meet people. You got to be kind. You got to put out good work. Like, all those things like come together, and they can really just drastically transform your life in terms of what you can do and what you can accomplish. So I just found his story to be, I mean, just great. Like, I hope that the people that were listening today, if you're thinking about, man, like it seems so difficult for me to try to go back to school at 30 or 40 or 50 to make a large transition in my life, realize, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but you have the opportunity and the ability just as much as anyone else to be able to accomplish it. It just takes time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good way, a good spot to end there, Gavin.
Let's do it.
Guys, thank you so much for joining. Remember to subscribe, share this.
Like it. Don't forget like that part. It. That part's
you know,
important.
Click, you know, you click that button that's got a thumb and you
just, or you watch it twice. You yeah. know, you just keep repeat. Just yeah. let it keep going. You know,
you build, that, yeah, and you build an AI bot that just is designed only to just watch it and generate views.
Okay, well, we might need to check that out. But yes, absolutely. Yes.
I might cut that part out. But well, guys, again, yeah, thanks so much for joining. Catch you later.
Catch you later next week.